if you have been listening to me on either of my podcasts, you've probably heard me talk about Amina Akhtar, who is one of my absolute favorite authors. I love how satirical she is. I love how twisty and dark and unique her thrillers are. And her third novel, Almost Surely Dead, just came out, and it is fantastic, and I get to talk to her about it. So this is what the book is about. Dania Ahmed lives an ordinary life, or she definitely used to. Now she's the subject of a true crime podcast. She's been missing for over a year, and no one knows if she's dead or alive. But her story has listeners obsessed, and people everywhere are sporting merch that demands find Dania. In the days before her disappearance, Dania is a successful pharmacist living in New York. The daughter of Pakistani immigrants, she's coping with a broken engagement and the death of her mother. But then something happens that really shakes her up. Someone tries to murder her. When her would-be killer winds up dead, Dania figures the worst is over. But then there's another attempt on her life, and another. And police suspect someone close to her may be the culprit. Dania struggles to make sense of what's happening, and as childhood superstitions seep into her reality, she becomes convicted that someone or something is truly after her. I really, really enjoyed this book. There are three timelines that you're alternating through. One when Dania is five, one with Dania in present, and a future timeline that is transcripts from a podcast that is looking into Dunia's disappearance. Some of Amina's really classic satirical writing comes through with this one, and I just couldn't have loved it more, and I'm so excited for you guys to hear us chat about it. Welcome to the podcast again.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah.
The new book, right?
Ooh, my the book.
And it matches your sweater. Look at
it
that.
Does. It matches you. It matches all of my favorite colors. So a pink and purple cover, I'm always going to love.
I love
it. It's such a cool cover.
If I wore anything but black, I would be so into matching my books. I just, you know.
Yeah.
I'm an old black girl.
I get it. I used to only wear black, and then I incorporated pink and purple. So I get it. I'm still
since I was like 13, I wear black. And I'll do a pop of color here and there, you know, but. Sorry guys,
it is,
but you know, I'll just walk around carrying it and it'll be my pop color here.
And the inside of the hardcover has such a cool like foil detail,
which I didn't even know about until the fabulous Megan Collins was like, oh my god, did you see this? And I was like, no, I didn't know this was a thing. That's cool.
It was so cool because I saw that story too, and I, as I've talked about often, I'm an e-reader girly, so I read the book with like a galley, and then I wasn't expecting to receive a hardcover copy, but I got the hardcover copy, and so then I was super excited to like open it up and be like, I know there's something cool on the inside here.
There is, and now it's I'm so gonna check every book ever, like, because I was like, that's so awesome.
Yeah, I know. It made me think that too. Like, how many books have like secrets that we don't know about?
Little Easter eggs.
Yeah. But what we're talking about is Almost Surely Dead, your third novel that comes out here in February. So with it being your third novel, was there anything about writing this one that felt different than your other two?
I'm going to be honest with you. While I was writing this is when I had that horrible broken finger. I had the most ridiculous injury on a pinky that for some reason, I mean, I'm very clumsy. And so I could not type with one hand. Like I couldn't use this hand. So there was a lot. And so I blew the deadline by 6 months on this. God bless my editor. But the entire time I was writing, it was basically panic. It's like, I'm missing my deadline. They're going to cancel my book deal. Oh my God. Right. So I think it's hard for me to remember what the process was like because I was in just this pure like anxiety mode the whole time.
Oh yeah.
So I almost blacked it out because it was so intense.
Yes.
And I was just like, I'm not going to make it.
Yeah.
Is my internet going out?
I can still see you and hear you.
Okay, because I can't see you. So, but you let me know if anything goes up.
Okay. Yeah, I will.
Oh, okay. Cool. The joys of living on a mountain in Arizona is that the Wi-Fi is god-awful. So sometimes when it rains, like now, I barely sneak in. So anyways, I don't remember the process too well. I do remember that.
You're like,
my
I wrote it.
So my story is, I am a tendency to completely rewrite every version as opposed to just doing revisions, which is a really labor-intensive way to do this. I don't know why I do it. I'm trying to break myself free of this habit, but it's just what works for me.
Right.
So I definitely had different versions of this, and some were even crazier, and some were way less.
Whoa.
And it was just sort of like, how do we get it in the middle? How do we get it? So it's like, sort of crazy, but not the worst.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that makes sense. It, like, I've heard, I can't remember who else I talked to. Someone else I talked to was like, I don't know, I just had to write the book. Like, I've completely, it might have been Ashley Winstead. She was like, it was like a fever dream. I just kind of like wrote it while I could, and I can't really tell you anything about it. So sometimes that happens.
You kind of almost go into a trance. It's like, it just get it all done. Yeah. And then I sleep for a few months, you know? And this is the first book I had on deadline, and I've never written a book where there was an editor along for the process. And I was like, okay. I literally had no idea what I was doing. Hopefully it worked out.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it totally did. So the dedication, your dedication says, for my dad and his gin stories. So was that part of your relationship with your dad, kind of the inspiration for this book?
Did you read in the acknowledgments, I snuck in the story of how when I was four, and I have two older siblings, you know, we're all really close in age. And for some reason, my father thought it would be a brilliant idea to let his four-year-old watch The Exorcist. And because he loved that movie. He thought it was amazing. He's on the theater. He saw people vomiting when it first came out. It was a very traumatic movie back in the day. And my older brother, being my older brother, was like, oh, Amina, you know that's a true story, right? And it was like, what? And so 4-year-old me had this fear her entire life that I'd have to share a room with my sister who got possessed, right? That was my big fear.
Yes.
And so my dad, I run to my dad, and I'm like, Daddy, Omar said this was a true story. And he's like, yes, I know, honey, but I know how to do an exorcism. You'll be fine. And he was serious. And I was like, oh. Shoot. So, and I've asked him in the past, I'm like, why did you think that was a good idea? Like, the response, why did you think that response was right? Like, I don't understand your thought process on this.
Yeah.
He's always been this very kooky father in fun ways. His side of the family. So, for the record, I believe in Jin. Jin are real. We have so many stories in our family about the Jin and my dad growing up with them. I've had experience with them. It is. I don't know anybody Pakistani who doesn't believe in them, no matter how logical and sciencey they are. Jinn is, it's a thing. It's hard to explain to Americans because there's very nothing that we, I think, as Americans believe in that is real. Maybe ghosts, but that's still very 50-50 controversial. Jinn, I think people really solidly are like, no, that's real. That's real. Not touching it.
Yeah. Yeah. What's the main, like, which you said it's kind of hard to explain, so it might not be able to be explained, but what's like the main difference between like a ghost versus a djinn?
Well, ghosts, we call ghosts Booth. So my cousin who's born on Halloween, his nickname is Booth. ghosts are ghosts. Djinn are separate entities. They have complete free will. They were created, if you believe the Quranic explanation of the creation, they were made from fire and smoke. So they're neither clay, nor they angels, nor they demons. They are an entirely different being. In the research, because I wanted to, you know, writing this, I felt like, am I the right person to tell the story? I'm so not religious. What am I doing? But I was like, you know, why can't I tell this story? So I'm going to do it. And I did all this academic research, you know, to see what the scholars thought about Jin and what the, you know, feeling was. And it was really interesting because there were things that I didn't know. Like, Jin predate the Abrahamic religions. So, and there's thinking that some of the, those older gods that people had might have been Jin. And there are jinn around the world. You know, there's Jewish jinn, there's jinn of all religions. It's really like a cultural thing. So it one of the thing that stuck with me was one of the scholars said that the fae are jinn. Not all jinn are fairies, but fairies are classified within the jinn with the way that they talk about jinn. And that kind of makes you think, oh, okay, I'm starting to get it. It's this overarching thing of these non-human entities that are very culturally specific, and they can do whatever they want. Basically, they're not unlike genies, which is where this came from, is, you know, getting your three wishes, which is where, you know, genies come from jinn. Jinn have free will, they can do what they want.
So the fire and the smoke, you do kind of touch on that as well in the book. And so there are some like eerie, smoky, scary scenes they were sticking in my head too, with how like
I
visual
told
and
you not to read it at
descriptive they
night.
were.
I was like,
You
don't read it
did. You
tonight.
told me not
You're gonna
to.
get nightmares. You're gonna
Yes.
sleepwalk.
Yeah.
And then you're gonna
Yeah.
be like, Amina, what did they do? Yeah, I'm
I
sorry.
know you tried to warn me,
I
and I
did,
had
I
already
did.
started it at night, and my husband was gone. And then all of a sudden, I was like, wow, I'm like really into the visuals of this. Like, I should probably, it was like at 9:30. And I was like, I
Put
should
it
probably
down.
stop reading this for now. And then I pulled up
If,
Instagram, and you were like, by the way, don't read
unless,
it
yeah,
at night.
unless you love to be scared, and some of us do. Like, I love horror movies, right?
Yeah.
I love it. I love being scared.
Yep.
Unless you love being scared, do not read this at nighttime.
Yeah.
I've had so many male authors, like straight white male authors, being like, I had nightmares. Oh my God. You know?
Yeah.
And I'm just
Yes.
like, that's my
Yes.
life.
Yeah. It was like in the first 20%, like specifically, there are just some scenes that were so creepy that like that night when I was waking up, I was like, do I see smoke in the air right now? Like, or is there
Yeah.
stuff moving in the dark air right now?
Is there a gin
Yeah.
in the room with us?
Yes. Yes. I'm like, are there things I
And
haven't been aware
I
of?
want it to be creepy, and but I think like also like
Yeah.
I was, you know, I'm not a subtle writer, so it's for
No.
me it's like I just want to be like, okay, and then there was this creepy thing, but to
Yes.
it was a challenge to get it to be subtly creepy, you know, so it was just
Yeah.
like just enough that you're like, oh, is
Yep.
this getting me nervous? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, did you ever scare yourself while you were writing some of the scenes?
No.
No.
It's I find it really, I don't scare myself with this stuff. I don't
Yeah.
scare easily. I'm one of those
Yeah, I
idiot
bet.
people who, if I hear a noise in the middle of the night, I will get up and investigate. So we all know I'm
Yes.
dying first in the horror movies. But I will literally be like my dad is going on vacation, like, or to visit my sister, and for some reason he has an alarm clock set in the middle of the night. I don't know, my dad's weird. And I woke up and I'm like, there is music in the house. Why is there
Oh
me
my
like, and I
God.
literally have like a stick in my hand, like investigating, and it's an alarm clock. But I'm
Oh
like
my gosh.
thinking, I need to stop being that person. I want someone else to go check out the noises at
I
night for
know, but
me.
like at the same time, if you're just like fawning instead of fight or flight in your bed, like that's not any better
Yeah.
either, really.
Exactly. Like sometimes you just have to get up and double check that it's fine, but
Yeah. My dog, well, at least one of them, he will bark at stuff in the middle of the night
When
and
the
just be
dogs
so
freak out,
sure.
that's what, yeah. Bean's doing this new thing where she, after dinner, she gets her little, you know, her Greenies toothbrush, and she has to
Yeah.
eat it in my bedroom, and which is always a weird. And she'll just be barking at it, and she's not a barker, and so she's just been barking
Yeah.
in my room lately, and we're like, this is getting creepy.
It's so
So I don't
creepy.
know. Yeah,
Yeah.
I
So
don't like when they get weird.
sometimes when he's when Bruce is like convinced there's someone in the hallway and I'm alone, I'm like, I'm with you though. I'm like, I need to go walk into the hallway because otherwise I'm just gonna sit in bed freaking out about what's in the hallway. So like, how's that useful?
I had a haunted apartment, which is where the story for Dunya came, which was Bean was seeing something. It and I don't I just like her ears were pinned back, she was terrified, and
Yeah.
my solution was to put a blanket over her head. I was like, I don't want to deal with this right now. I don't know what you're seeing, but lights out,
Yeah.
you're fine, you're fine.
Yeah.
So that's how I handle things.
Yes.
If I get
Yeah.
scared, oh, it's not real. It's fine.
Yeah, yeah, it's like, if I can just confirm it's not real or just not there right yeah. now, I'll feel better.
Yeah, like, let me deal with it in the morning with coffee, like, middle of the
yes. day. Yes. Yes. Well, the other thing we have in common, other than dogs who are trying to alert us to danger, is sleepwalking.
Because we're just fun people. You can never have a slumber party with, because right? you will scare the living Jesus out of you. Like,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
When
my husband started, basically a couple years into our marriage, Tyler told me that he was halfway scared to fall asleep next to me sometimes, because it was like falling asleep next to like a war veteran who's like waking up in the middle of like some kind of panic that he doesn't understand.
Did he enjoy watching that Paranormal Activity 1 where she's basically sleepwalking and standing next to the yeah. bed? I was like, I do that. Well, that was yeah. the only movie that I think that scared me in recent history, because I was like, holy cow, I do that.
Yes.
Am I having issues? Sister, God bless her, she used to wake up every morning or every night with her 4-year-old sister standing at the foot of her bed just watching her.
Oh my gosh.
And she would get me back into bed. I would do it every night. I to this day don't know how she didn't murder me, because that is just
right
creepy kid stuff, right? Like, I was a
yeah.
creepy child.
Yeah.
But she didn't.
Yes. Awesome. Yeah, I used to walk to my brother's door, or this is what he told me, and I would knock on his bedroom door and he would like open it, and I would just stare at him.
Yeah.
He'd be like, can you go back to bed, please?
And then you get annoyed yeah. in your sleep, you know, and it's like, and it makes no yes. sense. You'll be like, shut up. And then you say something stupid
yeah.
and you go to bed, and the next day yeah. everyone's like, what were you doing? So that yes. sleepwalking is where Dunya came from. I've been wanting to write a sleepwalking yeah. book, because it is such a creepy thing to do. Yep. You know, not most adults yes. don't do it. Most people grow out of it. Mm-hmm. We are special. Mm-hmm. Yay. And when I was yeah. having that haunted apartment, part of what was happening is that, like Dunya, every night I was sleepwalking. And I don't do it every night. I do it once or twice a month. Sometimes I'll wake up, you know, just next to my bed. Sometimes I'll be like, oh, my Fitbit just told me I was running around last night. What?
Yeah.
So sometimes I don't even know I'm doing it. But this was every single night. And I was doing the same thing Dunya was doing, which was running into my living room or into the mm-hmm. closet, because there was something there that didn't belong. And I'm like throwing shoes, trying to find it. And it was every yeah. single night. And I was just like, and then Beanie is freaking out. So I was like, all right, that's weird. So I was joking to my friends. I'm like, guys, I have a closet monster. And, mm-hmm. you know, this was back when I was working at a fashion site, whatever. And mm-hmm. whenever you go out with fashion people, like with publicists, they would always bring mm-hmm. an astrologer, a tarot reader, a psychic. I don't know why. It's a thing. It's a thing yes. in the fashion world. Okay. So yeah. they 6 months prior, I had gone to dinner with a bunch of people, and there was this guy who does energetic feng shui. I cannot explain that to you. Okay. I have no idea mm-hmm. to this day what he did in my apartment. But he calls mm-hmm. me up and he's like, you don't remember me. We had dinner with all these people like 6 months ago. I'm like, no, it's cool. Mm-hmm. I remember you. And he's like, listen, my spirit guides are telling me to get into your apartment. There was something in there. I need to come over right now. And I was like,
oh my gosh.
Okay, come on over. And it was wow. for free. This guy wasn't scam, because I'm trying to figure out what's the scam, right?
Right.
Yeah, totally free. He came over, and the night before he came over, and this was in a version of the book, and I don't know if it made the final version. Mm-hmm. I had this dream the night before he came that I had to go into the bathroom and take a picture with the flash on in the mirror in the dark. And whoa. I would see what was haunting me behind me. I didn't whoa. Do it, because that's how you die. So I didn't know.
So yeah, because,
yeah, I was just like, heck, I am. I'm not that dumb. He was like, flat out, it's coming through your bathroom. It's coming yes. from somebody else's apartment, and it's going through your bathroom. And I was just like, oh my God, the dream. So he did wow. all this stuff, but I just thought it was such a weird experience, because he did
that
all these
crazy.
Things about just, and then he found a message from my mother, right? My mother had passed, and he's like, there's a message on your bookshelf. I need you to see how I organize these lovely bookshelves of mine. I don't. Mm-hmm. You see what a mess it is? I'm a very chaos organizing person, right?
Yeah.
So it's not like they're in a pretty order or alphabetical. Mm-hmm. So if you glance at my bookshelves, you're not going to find this book that he's talking about. And so he would use kinesiology and like use your arms and lift your arms and ask you questions. And the way your arm moves would tell the truth. And you're like incapable of lying that way. It's the weirdest thing I've ever heard of.
Wow.
So he did this and he finds this book. It's like buried in the back. It's an old book from Camus from college years that I haven't read in like 20 plus years. And, you know, using my arm, is it this page before this page or after this page, whatever. So he finds it and he looks at me and he's like, I'm sorry, but I need you to read this line because this is what your mom wants you to know. So I pick up this book and the line said, yes, it would be a pleasure to see my mother again. And I was like,
oh my gosh.
How? Like, I could not figure out how anyone could do that without it being actually a psychic being. Like, it just didn't make sense to me. So after he was done, it just felt better. The air, the vibes were better. Beanie seemed a little bit more chill.
Oh, wow.
I did move out of that apartment.
Yeah. I don't blame you.
I don't want to stay here. Because he was like, it's not a ghost. It's a demon coming through and it's attached. And I was like, oh, I know who it's attached to. There's that surly girl on the 19th floor. I know exactly who it's attached to. That that was where Dunya came from. So I can always say if it ever gets made into a movie based on a true story. I can now say it.
That was where I was headed. Like, was most of your research for the sleepwalking just personal experience?
Yeah. Because I do so much weird stuff. Like, I'll change my clothes, I'll clean furniture, I'll turn on washing machines and don't leave the house. That's my saving grace. I've never left an apartment.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do, especially in my house because, you know, I'm literally surrounded by wild animals outside. So I don't want to be out there at night. It's really creepy. But I usually do things like I'll just wake up in the hallway or, you know, I bolt out of bed. I leave Bean to whatever dream monster I have and I bolt out of bed. Sorry, Bean.
Yeah.
And I'll wake up being like, where am I? Oh, okay. That was a dream. And I don't know if you have this. Remember those overhead projectors in school where they have those it's almost like that transparency is your dream happening over reality. And so I'll still see part of the dream happening and I'll just be sitting there being like, okay, you're not awake yet. This is weird. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what, when I was like 10 or 11 or we'd moved. So I was probably like 11. That was exactly what it was like because I was completely convinced there were these huge, like probably like 3 foot wide spiders that were like strong enough to open the windows in my bedroom. And so I was throwing shoes at the window and my parents are like, what is happening? Like, I think she's dreaming. And I just like kept throwing shoes at the window. So like my eyes were open. I technically knew what my room looked like, but I was just so sure that there were these like creatures trying to come into my bedroom. That's a good, I like that description.
Yeah. One night I was visiting home from college and I was sharing I was in the room next door to my sister and she heard me screaming bloody murder. And so she was like, my door was locked and she was like, let me in. And I was like, no, I can't. They won't let me. And so she thought there were people in my room. So she somehow gets the door open. And as she walks in, so I'm dreaming of millions of cockroaches, like just crawling everywhere. Bugs, right? It's always bugs there. And as she walks in my room, I see her. I see her as she is. But the second she walked into my room, she's covered in bugs. And I'm just staring at her like, oh. Because your dreams are just still happening as you're awake.
Yes.
And it is just a very, and it's not sleep paralysis. You're able to move. You're able to speak. Yeah. It's just the most bizarre experience.
Yes.
So if you ever date a sleepwalker, be kind.
Just be ready.
We're trying.
Yeah, mine's like not as intense. It was definitely like way more intense when I was a kid. I remember in my dorm, when I lived in a dorm, I did end up like out of my dorm in the hallway at one point. And I was like, I think I just woke up here. I'm going to go back in. But now mine normally is that I like jump out of bed and I am, to your point about like they're in here. I'm convinced that there were like two people that came into the room and I'm like, we got to get them out. And Tyler's like, no one's here.
And you're like, that's not going to help. Like, you just have to wait.
No, right now I believe there are people here.
Yeah. And you're in on it, Tyler. What are you doing? Yeah.
Yes.
You have to just kind of go with it. And then it's always And like poor Bean, she's just such a patient dog. Sometimes I'll like lift her up and she'll be like in my sleep and I'll wake up holding her and she's just like,
Yeah.
what are you doing, man? Put me down.
Yeah. I know. I know. Yeah, I'm totally with you. The worst, because sometimes lately, mainly because I use more CBD before bed, I think is what started to make it a lot better, like a lot better.
Because you dream less now, with cannabis stuff, or you remember your dreams less.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it helps that part of my brain not get it as active. So now sometimes I just talk, like I'll have like sit up in bed and I start talking. Yeah. And then sometimes I wake up just enough in the middle of it that I'm like, and then you like feel kind of embarrassed because you realize like, oh, I was just talking and it wasn't making sense.
Oh yeah. It's like total gibberish. And it, you know, it's just like snippets of your dream and that you probably won't remember. And So, you know, sleepwalking to me, it's just another quirk of being me and you, and it's a part of life. But I think that so many people are fascinated by it because we're really like not in control of what we're doing.
Right.
You know, like I don't take Ambien or anything because God only knows what I would do if I had to take those things because they trigger sleepwalking. Yeah. Oh my God. That would be bad.
Yeah.
That would be
rough.
Yeah.
No. No, we don't. We have enough sleep excitement in our life.
Seriously. We're good.
Yeah. So in the book, there's kind of two timelines. So we have Dunia Oh, you're right. There are three. Correct. Mm-hmm. So we have Dunia as things are happening to her as like someone, I'm trying to say the parts without just in the synopsis without spoiling anything. But someone does try to kill her and doesn't succeed. And then she has another attempt on her life. So that's like what's happening with her then. And then in one of the future timelines, it's a transcript of a true crime podcast. And I know in our last podcast, I asked you about your satirical writing and you're like, I don't even think I like write satire. I just kind of like write
and then
the
I
things
do.
That I'm thinking. And then you do. And the podcast transcripts were so funny.
I felt like it was such a heavy book that I needed I need something for people to have a moment of levity. Because I feel like if you're reading a heavy book and you're just like, it's a slog.
Yeah.
So I wanted to break up some of the heavier stuff in the book. And then also it was like, well, let me use these podcast chapters to further the plot so that we start to learn, okay, so we know she's disappeared but we don't know that in her timeline yet, and the podcast, while being absolutely ridiculous, would let us know who was arrested or who's being, you know, looked at for this or who they think did it, because all we know is that it's just this poor girl has disappeared. But then there's a third timeline that happens when Dunia's five, because it was a very pivotal year, because throughout her main timeline, she references her family, and she's very estranged from her mother and her sister. Her father passed away when she was five, in front of her, she was right there. And from Dunia's perspective, and I'm going to be careful with spoilers, it was her fault. She felt her family blamed her and then distanced themselves from her when she was five. And so she felt like she was kicked out of the family basically without being kicked out, and you know, not part of the community either. So she's very estranged from her culture, very set apart. But as we're reading the five-year-old chapters, you kind of see things might not be she might be most not a reliable narrator because she's saying things very narrowly and only, you know, with her
she's
eyes.
She's a child.
But you start to see how her family is reacting to things. And in the podcast, you see it because her sister comes on and her sister will say things that completely negate what Dunia's thinking. So it's really sort of like there are three sides of the story. There's her story, other people's story, and then the truth. So you start to see the different sides of the story and be like, oh, okay, something else is going on here.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And I thought it was interesting. So two things with the her youngest timeline when she's really young. There's also, I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly, she's kind of labeled the Pagal. Is that how you pronounce
Poggle.
It? Poggle. Okay.
Fargo. Didn't quite get it. And it's funny because in our families, or at least my family, you know, I don't speak for everyone. There's things you don't talk about. You know, you don't talk about that one crazy aunt who got married off at 13. You know, we don't discuss these things. So to have a boggle of an aunt, it's like, oh, it's shameful. We don't want to talk about that. It's very backwards. Yeah. I don't like that. But has that changed in 2020? Probably. But, you know, this was me growing up and my experience with it, right? So for her as a child to understand that boggle is bad, boggle means crazy. They think I'm a boggle. This is bad.
Yeah.
So that was her main thing, is that she didn't want to be her aunt. She didn't want to be crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. And then it mentions kind of later on in the book that she didn't feel connected, or she felt shunned from her culture. And so she kind of didn't like hold on to the parts of her culture either, kind of all because like they didn't care about her mental health.
Yeah. Almost. Nobody wanted her.
Yeah.
You kind of go, as you're reading, you know, for me, it was like, this is sort of like my ode to my parents, because I think when you have your kids, immigrant kids, you don't realize that your parents are doing the best they can, right? And I think for all parents, right? If you're lucky enough to have good parents, not everyone's that lucky.
Yes.
They're doing the best they can. They're human beings. Let's give them some grace, you know? And so she starts it being like, you know, her horrible mother and this and that. And yes, her mother has died recently, and so she's dealing with this grief. So she's already in a weird headspace because she's never reconciled really with her mom. And she's broken up with an ex, you know, with her former fiance. So she has all these loose ends, and she's grieving, but she doesn't understand how to deal with all the feelings she's feeling. So I just really wanted to kind of have it be this moment of, as you're reading it, I have these realizations as when I, you know, became an adult, where, you know, I was always so mad at how strict my parents were and this and that. And then I was like, oh yeah, I know, they were right about these things. All right. Yeah. And it's kind of a horrifying realization that, oh no, my parents are totally right.
Yeah.
So I kind of want her to, as she's going, without spoiling things, let her see if she can get to that point, you know, and doesn't necessarily mean she does, but let's try to get her there.
Yeah, you did. I thought it was, again, not trying to talk spoilers, but it was really cool the way those arcs came to, the character arcs kind of came together differently than you see them at the beginning.
Yeah,
because there were some quotes about her, there are just so many things I highlighted about the relationship with her mom as an adult, where I was like, that was powerful. I get that. I see you. Yeah. So it was cool the way it was able to end.
It's definitely one of those, like, oh, I kind of wish my mom were here now, so I could be like, look. So it was sort of like, whenever I would read The Namesake, I would end up, or watch the movie, I would end up calling my mom and be like, I'm so sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Sort of like my version of it, you know, or you could be like,
Yeah, it is really cool the way it all together at the end. For sure. I loved it. I'm not going to talk about it because I will give spoilers away and or maybe cry.
Guys, no spoilers.
Yeah. But one of the things with the podcast timeline that was just like, to your point about it is a really heavy book, some of the levity with the podcast transcripts is kind of how like unhinged it is as a concept in the way that some people approach true crime. And like the lack of respect.
I think there are true crime podcasts that are legitimately trying to help the people involved, right?
Yes.
That Rabia Chaudhry, Catherine Townsend, you know, she's licensed private eye, actually solving cases.
Yep.
But then you also have other, and I don't listen to a bunch of true crime. I know we're all supposed to be obsessed with true crime. I'm not, because it's all in my head anyway.
I'm not either.
Unless they're going to give me ideas for how to get rid of a body in a book. I don't know.
Right.
But
yeah,
I feel like there are podcasts out there that are not, their interest is not in the story necessarily. It's in getting a TV deal, right? Getting a deal on Netflix. Or, you know, and you start to wonder, who owns this story now? Is it the victims? Is it the people, you know, the people involved? Or is it the people telling the story that now own it? So I think there's a lot of weird areas that true crime podcasts touch on that make people kind of wary of them. you know, it is what it is. Yeah,
there was a point in this podcast where they're literally like interviewing someone who's a friend of Jania, and they're saying something, the guest is saying something, and they're like, oh my gosh, no, spoilers, we're not going towards spoilers. And she's like,
oh yeah, they were talking to her best friend,
spoilers, Deborah. Like, this is my friend's life. So then they wrap the section up.
Yeah.
Right. They like wrap the section up and they're like, and now we have this offer for you for PI services and use the code Dunia15. And I was like, I felt like it was such a cool example of like they're commoditizing someone's who's a missing person. Like,
yeah,
it was wild. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, to be podcasters respect, but you know, let's remember why you're telling these stories, you know, what,
yeah,
the goal isn't for you, the goal is to solve it and to help people. So
yeah, and that should be the goal for sure, not just to like sensationalize all of it.
But it makes them reading.
yeah totally. So I might be out of questions. I might have another question, let me see.
We can go back to spiders and sleepwalking. I always imagine a giant tarantula above my head. But I've made friends with the tarantulas because, you know, I'm like the demented Disney princess out here. Since I've made friends with them in that they kind of walk along with me, my walking beanie, which is really weird. Yeah. I don't have the nightmares as much anymore. I realized that tarantulas kill scorpions. So it's sort of like the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Yeah.
So I was like,
yeah.
Okay, tarantulas, just don't come into my nest. My den is my den.
And if they're really nice. Yeah.
Yeah. I had one come into the house and I was just trying to get rid of it. Like, I don't want to kill it. I just want to be like, how do I move you outside? Your size is amazing. Yeah. And I got it outside by kind of irritating it with a broom and sort of chasing it out. And I got it outside. And the poor thing, the next morning I go outside and on the patio, I don't know what was waiting for it. Just its legs. Nothing else was there. Just its legs. I do not know what death I sent that poor spider to, but to this day I feel such guilt because I didn't know there was something out there ready to eat it. Sorry, tarantula.
Oh, poor spider.
I know.
He was just trying to live his life. Well, at least you kind of tried to help
him. Wanted it to be outside because also, like, our house is so sprayed for scorpions and other things. It's going to die if it stays inside that house. So I'm just like, oh, let me get you out. Let's save you. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, I also loved the ending. I thought the ending was really cool. I always talk about endings where I love when you get to them and you feel like they were inevitable, like given all of the information you had leading up to that final 20%,
I struggled with it because it was like, well, where do we go from here? Do we get her an exorcism? And then it's like, that's boring. We've all seen the movies. We don't need a vomit scene. We don't, you know,
right.
Let me figure out how I can do it. And I'll be honest.
Yeah.
I'm a little amazed at the response I've gotten from the book because I thought, oh, this is the weirdest book. No one's gonna read it. It's crazy. When they called me up and were like, was like, Mindy wants this book, I was like, are you joking? Like, this is a weird book. You know, this is like I write weird books. My last book is Talking Ravens, you know, like I thought this was a weird book. People have loved it. I'm amazed because this is such a personal story with so much from my childhood in it and so much my parents in it that it was like, oh, I don't know. So I am sort of coming to terms with the fact that people are reading this.
Yes, that part.
Wild. It is wild, man.
Yeah. I thought it was really fitting. So did you have any other ideas for the ending or was that pretty much kind of what you came to?
I think I'm not going to say it because I don't want to do spoilers. I do know that at one point my editor was like, you have to make things less dire. Give people hope, Amina. And I was like, that is a fair point. I get it. Okay. Let me think about what I can do with that. You know, Yeah. Was just kind of like, please don't make it so depressing. And I was like, that's fine. I won't. It's fine. Sorry.
Yeah. I loved it. I thought it was, like I said, it felt inevitable, like given everything else.
Yeah. And you never know. Maybe there'll be a sequel. Who knows? You know, we'll see.
Ooh, I always wondered about that because there definitely could be.
I like to leave things open. I never say no to stuff like that, but we'll see what the powers that be would want. You know, it's beyond my control.
Right, right. And are you already working on another one?
I am. I have I'm very slow at it. I'm doing my best because I have long COVID. So I can write like 500 words and then I'll take like a 5-hour nap. It's like just full coma pass out. Like it's not even like I'll take a nap in half an hour. It's like nap now and you face plant. But it is this is two different timelines on this one. One is the 90s where the main character was a goth teen, possibly pulling from my goth years, which I still probably am in. And as a main character, she's in mid-40s. So we already have a protagonist that's older than usual in these books. Yep. And she is going home to visit her family in the small town of Texas, or like a suburb of Texas, for weddings. And the grooms, the eligible men, keep being murdered. And you realize, and then in the 90s chapters is, you know, back in 1994, the same thing happened to some women, but the press chalked it up to honor killings because it was the 90s. And that was the key phrase with anything that they used with us was, oh, honor killings, right? So it goes into that, but the cases were never solved. So she has to solve this case and figure out who's killing the men. And it's going to be interesting. It's definitely going to make fun of wedding culture because my people are really obsessed with weddings. Really, really, really obsessed with weddings.
There's a little bit of making fun of it in Almost Surely Dead. I was texting you. I was like,
"This is me, your aunties. I'm 46. I'm never getting married. Here you go. Have a ball."
Yeah.
So the main character is not like, "Hey, she's not married," but everyone's always like, "Oh, you don't want to end up like that. That one's unmarried, you know." So she's not. Yeah. So the younger girls don't really hang out with her, but she's trying to find out what's happening, you know, and be like, "Oh, okay." So it's going to be, I believe, less supernaturally. Just because I also promised my agent I would write an actual just straightforward thriller for once. But I have something else in mind for the book after that'll be wild, but I don't want to talk about it because it's I don't know how. Right now I'm at a point where I'm like, I don't know how to execute it, so I'm just gonna wait to see if it comes to me.
That totally makes sense. I'm excited for the other one for sure. I have been asking everyone what they've been reading recently that they loved. So I don't know if you've had time to
read. I'm a little slow because it takes me about a month to read a book right now with the long COVID, which is so frustrating. I did just read Use Juice and that was really good. It's by Erin Meyer and I think she's under pen name E.K. Setu. I don't know how to say it. I apologize. Okay. And it's a very me book. You know, it's basically set in the beauty world and using skincare and blood. And I'm not giving things away. But it was really dark. It was really funny. I think the way she describes things and people, I found so hilarious and witty and just such a fun read to do.
It comes
and of course Missing White Girl coming out by Kelly Garrett is like
that
needs to be at the top of everybody's list. I read it
that's because I just got so I just good. Got access to it on NetGalley, so that's going to be coming up on my list here soon.
That one I could not guess the ending at all. I didn't guess who done it or what. I was just like, dang, all right, good work.
That makes me read even more.
I was just like, I shut the book and I was like,
that is amazing.
So that honestly, those two books, get them, pre-order them. I believe Kelly's is in April, I want to say.
I think so. I feel
Youth
like
Juice is June.
And Youth Juice says it's compared to American Psycho meets Devil Wears Prada, which sounds wild.
Yeah. It reminds, obviously, it reminds me of my first book, Passion Victim, but like,
Yeah.
I love the way she writes. Like, it was just so captivating and different from what I do. So I was just like, oh, I love
Yes.
this book. It's like made for me. Holy cow.
Right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, dear
Totally.
Amina, here's a
Yeah, those
book.
are two. I'm excited for both of those. I'm very
Yeah.
excited for
Can
both
be,
of
they're
those.
both
There are
going to
a
be
bunch
amazing.
coming out this year
It's
that are
a
really
good
good.
reading year, guys. It really,
Yeah.
really is. Like, there are so many awesome books coming out. I can't even keep track. Like, I
I
have piles
know.
of books of like, I'm gonna read, I'm gonna read, I'm gonna read, and then it takes me a
Yeah.
month. So I'm being ambitious and then not doing it. But
Yeah.
there are, like, honestly, save your money, don't buy anything else, just buy books this year.
I know. I totally
Yeah.
agree with that. So everyone should be doing
Okay, fine. Buy
2024.
beauty products too, but buy books. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, we
We'll
gotta
keep.
have some.
Yeah. We're human.
Books and beauty products, the bees. We can spend
Yes.
money on the
Yes.
bees.
Do the bees. Yes.
Well, where can people follow you so they can keep up to date with all of this?
Social media has gone crazy. So I'm not really on Twitter anymore because obvious reasons. I'll do updates on that, but whatever. Instagram is definitely the best way to follow me. I am on Threads and Blue Sky, but again, it's like, who knows what's gonna happen with social media. I kind of feel like we're gonna hit a point where we're all gonna pull back from it.
Yeah.
Because there isn't one defining place to talk about things anymore. So maybe
Yeah.
social will be less of a thing, but I'm definitely on Instagram. You can see my books, you can see Beanie, my special dog.
Yeah.
Hi, Beanie.
Yes.
And all the fun wild animals that love to stalk me in my yard.
Yes. Your
Just
javelinas.
my javelinas. Yeah,
Javelinas.
honestly, I put bird seed out because the birds fly into our windows a lot and die. So I felt really
Oh.
guilty. I was like, let me put bird seed out. And
Yeah.
I didn't want to feed her because we have so many small critters, and I didn't
Yeah.
want to have to deal with things getting stuck in there. And what if it's a
Right.
snake? I can't. I didn't want to deal with it. So I just
Yeah.
put it on these trays, kind of on the wall, so that the javelinas wouldn't get to it. The javelinas came and knocked the trays off. I'm like, fine. So then I weighted them down with the rocks and bricks. They broke those. Literally
Oh
broke the
my
trays in
gosh.
half.
Wow.
I have tried to chase them off, and I gave up. I'm done. Fine, you want your bird
No
seed,
way.
have the bird seed, leave me alone, but now they come up to me and I'm like, don't come up to me.
Yeah.
We don't have this relationship. Like, I'm inside. I don't want the javelina this close to my dog, but they were very
Yes.
polite yesterday as I was walking my
That's
dog because I
good.
hadn't put bird seed out. They were basically like, ma'am, there's no bird seed. Like,
Yeah.
please fix
They
this. And
like
I was
it.
like, oh, they do. And they have babies right now. So the
Oh, I
mom
saw the little baby
PD,
one.
there's a
He is
couple.
so
There's a couple
cute.
babies. They are adorable.
They are
Oh my
very
God. I'm
cute.
just kind of like, I wish they wouldn't grow up to be murder pigs, but they're so cute.
I know. They
They
are.
are murder
I was
pigs.
having the same reaction looking at them.
Javelinas are not friendly. Yeah. So that's why I was really shocked yesterday that they were being very
Yeah.
friendly. And like, I'm just like, ah. And then I'm sitting there going, I'm arguing with javelinas in the road. This is, all right, let's just go home and put some birds out, like, get it together.
Right. Well, hopefully they stay friendly with you.
I know. And I want to see more babies.
Friendly-ish.
I love them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Friendly-ish with a glass window in front of between us. Like,
Yes.
yeah.
Yeah, hopefully we can keep that going. And then I will put all the links you just talked about
Yeah.
in
Do you
the
need
show
any book
notes.
cover or anything? Are you good?
I'm good. I'm good for
Okay.
right now. But yeah,
Yay.
and so everyone can find everything there. And
February 1st. Check them
yes, February
out.
1st
Yay.
comes
Again, do not
out.
read this at nighttime unless you're like me and you really enjoy being scared, in which case, go
Yeah.
wild. Yeah.
Yeah. I still enjoyed it even though I read it at night. I was mostly reading it at nighttime. So there's
Didn't.
that.
I hope as long as it didn't make you sleepwalk, then you're fine.
No, it really didn't. I don't think so.
Okay, good.
It didn't seem like I was.
You're like,
But thank you.
oh,
Yes. But thank you for talking about it with me, and I'm
thank
excited to have you
you.
on for your next one,
You're my
whatever.
favorite. I love it. I love doing these
Yeah.
podcasts.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of Between the Lines. And if you did, the biggest thing you can do to support the podcast is to go rate and review it on whatever platform you listen on. You can also follow me on Instagram at the girl with the book on the couch. And if you still need more thrillers in your life, check out Killing the Tea, my other podcast where I talk to my friend Gare about literally everything we read. Yeah.